All right, this is my story for William. And this comes out of having lunch with William today.
Yes.
And this is a story about Igliopteron, Uber Oberon, who is the crown prince of Genicalopala. And Genicalopala was a planet way out on the other side of the Milky Way. And the crown prince had taken his birthday present, which was an ultra-special spaceship that traveled through the massive light channel between the galaxies. And he would go into cyberwarp and get into the light channel, and then he could go anywhere he wanted in the Milky Way galaxy. And he had his tremendous Milky Way galaxy 3D model. He could find out where he was. Well, Igliopteron, well, we'll call him Igliopteron, because his name is kind of long. Igli was a very high-spirited young fellow. And Igli thought that he would have some fun. And so you know what he did? He was in the light space, in the straight ether, and he was racing along at 3 times the speed of light. And he said, I wonder what this puppy will do. And so he decided he would shove it up to as fast as he could go. Well, there was one problem. It was a brand new spaceship. And on brand new spaceships, you're supposed to take it out maybe 1,000,000 parsecs, you know, around the universe until you've broken in the engine. Because if you don't, different pieces of the engine get too hot. And when they get too hot, they break. But if you go 1,000,000 parsecs, then they've gotten to warm up, they've gotten to solidify and bake in good, then you go as fast as you want. But old Igglypop, he didn't care about that. He wanted to see how fast he could go. So he sat in his little spaceship control booth and he pulled on his little speed control and he said, okay, I'm going 3.5 times the speed of light. I think I'm gonna go up to 4 times the speed of light. And he pulled back and he revved that iridium monitor gravitron motor and it went poof and started going faster. Oh, I like this. Maybe I'll see what I can do at 5 times the speed of light. And he pulled it back and it went even faster. Well, he really couldn't see because he had windows, but since he was in the light channel, everything was bright anyway. Because you can't see anything in the light channel, it's pure ether, and he was moving fast. But his dials were going crazy, showing him how fast he was going. Man, if he kept going this fast, he'd get around the Milky Way in no time. Yahoo! I'm going, old Igglypop said. He was happy-go-lucky. He shook his tentacles. He wriggled up his nose mouth, and he pulled back some more. Woo! He was going 6 times the speed of light. Woohoo! His dials were going crazy. Roar! He was going, yay, I wish everybody could see me here. Woohoo! I know, I'll turn on the camera and they can see it. So he took on his super stereo camera and he aimed it at his control panel so that he could take a picture of him going 7 times the speed of light. Wow, I want to break a record. And he pulled back on his speed. It went, whoa, I'm going. Oh, and the needle went up 6, 6.5, 6.75. It went up to 7. Ooh, oh, I'm going to do it. Oh, and he heard a plop. And the dial went down to 0. Choo. What happened? The ship stopped going. He said, oh, my goodness. What happened? He tried to pull back. Nothing. He tried to kickstart it. Nothing. He said, oh, no. Oh, I got to get out of the light channel fast. And so he pulled the tripwire. And the tripwire is a special part of the spaceship that let him drop out of the light channel, out of the pure ether, into regular space. Well, he was still going fast. So he was moving through the galaxy. He had no idea where he was. He had no coordinates. He didn't know where he was. Didn't know where he'd been dropped. It was like, oh, no! And his engine was broken. He's traveling through. And then he spotted, way in the distance, a little sun. Oh, what's that? That looks like a sun. Oh, maybe I can aim at the sun. Maybe I can, I'll go around the sun till I can fix this engine. Because after all, he brought spare parts. Because every prince of Junkopalong had to learn to be an engineer mechanic, especially if you were driving a spaceship all by yourself. You had to know how to take the engine apart, repair the engine, and he could do that. But he couldn't do it while he was driving it. So he aimed at the sun, and it came for bigger and bigger and bigger. And he said, oh, I got to do a scan. Let me do a scan to see if there's any planets I could land on. Because if I could land on a planet, that would be so much nicer. And he did a scan. About 1, 2, nope. That's too big, gas giant. Oh, that's dead. Nope, too. Oh, what's that one? The sun had a planet. The planet was blue and green. Looked pretty nice. He came closer to it. Now, he was using just his landing jets because his super-duper light space engine was conked out. But he had his regular jets. And he could see. Oh, it's a planet. Oh, this is good. Oh. He looked at the planet. And you know what he saw? Lights. Lights everywhere. Lights here, lights there. The planet kept rotating lights everywhere. He said, oh, this planet has someone on it. Oh, this planet's inhabited. I better not land on this planet. Oh, but I have to land on the planet. What am I going to do? Then he noticed that there were some parts of the planet that were dark. No lights. Ah, that's what I'll do. I'll land on the planet where it's all dark. Yes, I'll aim for that. So he spotted a continent, and there were all these lights all around the edge, but sort of in the middle, it got really dark. He said, I'm landing there. And he came swooping down with his landing engines, thrusting. And he went through the atmosphere. He looked like a comet. And his telescopes everywhere thought they saw a big comet come crashing through the atmosphere. And he came down, right down to the darkest, darkest spot, and he pulled on his landing jets. He screeched to a slow, and he lowered his spaceship down to what was ground. Oh, I'm down safe. Doesn't look like anybody spotted me. He popped his hatch and he climbed out. And there he was. It was in front of him, a huge plane. Nothing but empty space all around him. And then behind him, it looked like there was some kind of organic growth coming up to the sky. And then there was land that kept going up and up and up and up and up. He said, wow, I wonder where I am. And then right next to him, there was this of whatever it was, looked like agua, looked like water. Water would be really helpful. He was very thirsty. Water would be helpful. But he came down and he stood there and he said, oh, I can breathe the air. Oh, this is good. What am I going to do next? Well, he didn't know that he had landed plunk dab right next to the tent of Dr. Clement Goodlight. And Dr. Goodlight was an astrophysicist who just happened to be out on a camping expedition and a fishing expedition, mind you, next to the best fly fishing stream in the whole of Wyoming. And he had been counting stars and taking pictures with his camera. And he had his camera set up to take a whole wheel of stars. And then he saw the asteroid, the comet, come flashing out of the sky. He watched it come closer and closer and thought, oh no, it's going to come close to me, oh no. And he jumped back into his tent. And the thing roared by and then was quiet. Dr. Goodlight looked out. And there, what did he see? He saw a spaceship. And what was with the spaceship was an alien. Well, Igglypop didn't think of himself as an alien. But when he saw Dr. Goodlight stand up, he went, ah, a monster! Oh, ah, a monster! But it didn't sound like that to Mr. Goodlight. What it sounded like was through his nose mouth, he was tooting. Because that's how we talked. So Dr. Goodlight walked up and he looked at this strange being. It looked sort of like a sea cucumber. It was tall. It sort of had a head with all this wriggly hair on top. All this hair that was all over the place. It had a couple eyes and it had what looked like a little elephant trunk, a short one, that came out. And that was it. He said, what's this? And it had a couple like little funny things that could be ears. What's this? So Dr. Goodlight thought, He held up his hand. And the alien, who looked at Dr. Goodlight, said, oh, monster, monster! Then he stopped, because holding up your hand, or whatever appendage you have as a space alien, holding up your hand is the galactic symbol of peace, man, peace. So Igglypop settled down. He said, oh. And he looked at the man, and he held up his hand. Well, it was a hand of sorts. It was more like a big, huge paddle, but it had long fingers on it. But a big paddle. It was a big hand. His other hand. Dr. Goodlight looked at him and said, he doesn't seem to be a dangerous alien. I wonder what he needs. Well, Igglypop then realized he was really thirsty. And he said to the good doctor, could I have some water? but it sounded like. The good doctor said, huh? Huh? What? But he thought to himself, this is a strange alien, but maybe he's hungry or thirsty or something. So he got into his tent and he pulled out a bottle of water and he took it and put it into a glass and he held it out to the alien. And the alien went, and he reached for the bottle, and you know what he did? He took a drink of it. But you know how he took a drink of it? He took three tentacles from his hair and dropped them into the glass. Dr. Goodlight went, ooh, that's a really strange way to eat. He's eating with his hair. But Dr. Goodlight didn't know that it wasn't his hair, it was his mouth, because that's how we ate. That's all the that's all the people on Genocopolon ate. They used their hair because their hair was tentacles. And their mouth nose was really the way they breathed and they spoke. And Junkinababian. So Dr. Goodlight said, wow.
Then what was the tentacles' nose?
The tentacles? Well, he didn't have a nose. He just had an elephant trunk.
Like this?
Like a little one. Like a taper. This little telephone, the elephant trunk. And it was used to go. He was an alien after all. So Dr. Goodlight said, My goodness, can you talk? And the alien, Igglypop, looked at him and said, Oh, I'm dealing not with a monster. This looks like he's a real civilized person. I know what I have to do. And he jumped back into his spaceship. And you know what he got? Mm-hmm. He got his all-galactic language translator medallion. And he hung it around his neck, sort of a neck. He didn't have a lot of neck, but he hung it around his neck. And he dialed it and tried to get any language that it could talk. And he started talking all the different languages of all the people in the Galactic Empire that he knew. No, that doesn't work. Nope, that doesn't work. Nope, that doesn't work. Oh, Dr. Goodlight said, huh? What's going on? And so Igglypop said, well, we're just going to have to learn this language. And he sat down and he went, ooh. And Dr. Goodlight said, huh? So Dr. Goodlight said, well, I don't know what you're saying, but I want to tell you where you are. And Dr. Goodlight started explaining to him that he was on Earth, and he was in Wyoming, and on the one side to the east were the Wyoming plains, and on the back, on the west, were the Wyoming mountains, and this was just the way it was, and he was Clement Goodlight, Dr. Clement Goodlight, but he could call him Clem. Well, you know what Igglypop's device was doing?
Huh.
It was recording all the words. It was deciphering the grammar, and it was creating the intermediary communication device. That would let him talk to Clem.
Well, his talk machine, could it talk like I'm talking right now?
When it finally learns the language.
Oh.
But when Igglypop talks, because his language is so musical, he's going to talk like he's a musical instrument and he's going to tell you what you think. But that's okay, because Clem will understand. And so they spent all night while the moon came up, the moon went down, the stars went around the sky. And Clem talked and talked and talked, and the communication device listened and listened and listened. And by the end of the morning, it had enough English to be able to let Igglypop talk back. And that's what tonight's story is going to end, because the next story is going to tell you where Igglypop is from and how he explains that to Clem Goodlight, Dr. Goodlight to you.
And guess what, guys? We're going to tell it right now.
Right now, you're going to dream about it, beautiful one. Good night, William. Love you.